welcome back on this Friday night. That was really interesting last hour, getting into that whole Brazel story about the ranch and the military, and he was literally kidnapped for 5 days. They don't do that over a weather balloon. This whole cover-up is ridiculous. But there is always a basic template of how the government covers things up. So that's interesting. You can actually extend it up to the bioweapon injection that we talk about all the time and how that's been covered up. Many similarities and techniques. It's all about information control and spreading lies and falsehoods. And boy, are there a lot of those when you talk about the COVID scamdemic, the plandemic, and all the people who have died and are right this moment suffering grievously. Lots of them. And again, the indications are that they're getting worse. Everyone who's taken the shot who is showing any kind of symptomology is getting worse. That's to the best of our ability what's going down. But the people who are not showing any symptomology are also, in all likelihood, if they were successfully transfected with these injections, they are also building grave pathologies of multiple types within their own bodies. It's not a good situation. And I don't mean to sound negative again. I've said that forever, but it's the truth. We don't like this, but we'll go where the truth and the facts and information take us. That's what we're doing. Welcome back, young lady.
Thank you, Jeff. Made it through another week.
Boy, am I going to sleep tonight. Been taking a beating all week. It's tough. It's a tough thing to sit here, all of you, with us, and watch what's happening. It's not pleasant. The lies continue. And we know now the other foot, or the next foot, maybe like a centipede, the next foot of our destruction could fall at any time. And it could be H5N1, the avian influenza. We don't know. But something's coming. Count on it. They're going to keep ramping this up until and unless they reach their goal, which I personally think that they're well on the way to doing already. Okay, we've got about 5 short videos this hour. They're very interesting. Each one is different, and each one comes from an excellent source. And we're going to start with Dr. Mike Yeadon, former chief science officer and vice president of the Pfizer pharmaceutical monolith. And he's got some things to say that are very interesting. He talks about CBDCs, which I think you'll find interesting coming from Mike Yeadon. But it's all tied together. It's all about taking down white Western Christian civilization and replacing it essentially with Asian dominance and international global elite dominance. That's what they're looking to do, among other things. So anything you want to add here, we'll play the Mike Yeadon piece. It's short, but it's good.
No, let's get into it, because we've got a few of these.
All right. Here's Mike Yeadon. This is part one. It's 2:20, and there's a 30-second second part, so we'll play that as well. Okay, here we go.
You do not need a mandatory digital ID in order to transact.
Now, what he just said there, and I couldn't figure it out myself, a mandatory digital ID. But he said it very quickly and kind of slurred it. So that's what he said. Mandatory digital ID.
You do not need a mandatory digital ID in order to transact your life, to meet people, to travel, buy some food, whatever. You don't need to have a common format, global, mandatory digital ID. Someone else wants you to have that. And they want you to have it, I believe, so that they know where you are at every breathing moment of your life thereafter. And why would they want to have that power? So they can make you do things or stop you doing things. Once you've got a mandatory digital ID, the powers that can be can shrug and say, well, it's not us, it's this next viral pandemic, and you have to take the vaccine. Otherwise, your digital ID will become invalid and you'll effectively fall into house arrest.
Now, this is a very important point, and we've made it before on the program with many guests. Once people agree to take that digital ID, their freedoms are gone. That's the end. Everything is controlled essentially through money. Unless you have an ability to get completely off the grid and disappear into the backcountry, you will have no longer what we call freedom. They'll take it.
So that's what they've been rehearsing. But then I think almost the last brick in the wall of control are central bank digital currencies, basically electronic money, but issued from the Bank of England. Or
central bank CB digital currencies, CBDC.
Or reserve, not high street banks. Central bank digital currencies, though, do away with high street banks for the purpose of running accounts. So now when you present your mandatory digital ID at the vendor for whatever it is, a piece of meat, 6 miles from your home, the database that's connecting your electronic money and your ID knows exactly where you are to the grid reference point. It knows who you're interacting with and what it is that's proposed to be purchased. And all you need now is a simple algorithm that could decide that people from further than 5 miles from the home may not buy anything, for example. We've all heard these things, like if you've had one piece of meat in unit time, if you're not allowed to have more than one other, then you simply will find you can't buy a piece of pork, but you could buy some baked beans. And like I said earlier, all it now takes is for malign individuals to have control of the database and the algorithms. And I assure you they are malign. And they won't be a tech company in your country either. They won't be alterable by democratic processes because it'll be in the cloud, run by probably a military computer. So whoever has control of that database and its algorithm.
Here's the little add-on.
Not a world I want to be in. So whoever has control of that database and its algorithm can prevent you from doing anything they choose. And don't assume they'll be benign. Their plans, as you can see from the Sustainable Development Goals, is that you will have as little mobility as possible, that you'll be probably cold unless you live in a warm country, and that you'll be hungry unless you like bugs. And I personally believe it will definitely... that situation is one that's unlivable, as far as I'm concerned. Complete loss of freedom means not a world I want to be in.
Okay, that's it. So, not a world I want to be in, said Dr. Mike Eden. I think there are an awful lot of people out there who would feel the same. This CBDC control mechanism is all ready to go. They're just waiting until the situation and the parameters fit their needs exactly. Then they will switch it on. They may even go as far as to say you've got 30 days to turn in all of your fiat currency to get your CBDC credits. Otherwise, your dollars will no longer be honored by any institution or government agency, and you will be penniless. They can do that. Are they going to? I don't know. They can. They can do anything. And if you just simply watch the behavior of this alleged administration and how it ordered the U.S. military to send 1,500 troops to the U.S.-Mexico border, and those troops have gone down there not to protect us, which is their sworn oath when they enter the military, to protect the Constitution and this country against all enemies, foreign and domestic. They're down there literally helping and assisting our conquerors to come into this country. Think about it. No higher treason could this military perpetrate. And it's doing it without any coercion at all. Remember the test 15, 20 years ago? Where they asked a bunch of, I think they were Marines, if you would shoot on American citizens if you were ordered to, and how many answered back in the positive or the negative. I forget the results, but the bottom line is you got 1,500 troops down there who are sworn to do the exact opposite of what they're doing. Does that give you any confidence if you're an American? We have no more military. We have no more effective constitution. We are in deep shit. And it's not going to get any better. CBDCs and Mike Eden, he didn't talk about that on a lark basis. That's a critical issue. He understands, and he's in England. You could do the same thing over there. Once you go digital, you're done. Any comments?
Yeah, it's an electronic cage.
Exactly. Exactly. And they can torment you in that cage as much as they want. This is going to happen. I'm sorry. It's going to happen. I was told years ago, this is the plan. And it is ready to go. The Fed, I think it's the Fed Now or the new Fed. I think it's Fed Now. Anyway, whatever. The first step in this direction is going to begin in July. So get ready. Get ready. If you think you can go to your congressman and get this reversed, you're not living in reality. It's not going to happen. Those people are every bit as evil as you could imagine. All right. Interesting to hear Mike Eden talk about that. And I think the lesson there is that Eden knows now and he sees the end game. He knows what's coming, and he's more than concerned. All right. Any icing to add to that cake?
No, it is what it is. If you don't see it by now,
well,
you're probably not going to see it.
Most know that something's coming, but they don't know what, and they don't want to be bothered. Actually, maybe most don't know. I don't know, because I don't know most people.
No, I know. It's hard to gauge.
I don't socialize. neither do you. Neither do a lot of you listening. And not just in this country. You understand about shedding. You know. So I don't honestly know what the masses think. I can only guess and project, and that kind of a forecast is completely, really, ultimately extraneous. But when you know what the enemy is planning, and look what is happening, I just keep going back to these troops. They're not going to save us. They're committing highest treason right now.
I know.
And we have no government. We know that. And the frauds in Congress aren't going to do anything. If anybody really steps out of line, they will be penalized very seriously. Ted Cruz said something. What did Ted Cruz say today? He's starting to say some fairly intelligent things about this. He may be one of the most outspoken of our contemporary politicians. Where is it? I find it. Here it is. Cruz, Senator Ted Cruz, slams the border chaos, Title 42 expired, as nothing less than an invasion. Well, glory be. He's calling it an invasion, led by invaders, not immigrants, not migrants, not dispossessed third world suffering peoples. This is an invasion. So good job, Ted, maybe you listen to the program, but we've called them invaders for a long time. All right. Next, what's your call?
What do you got there?
I've got David Martin. I've got Ryan Cole. I have a Canadian doctor on brain diseases. And I've got Dr. Charles Hoff.
Roll the dice, whichever one. They're all good.
I'm going for the brain diseases.
Okay. So, yeah, right. This is Dr. Christopher Shaw, who is a neuroscientist and professor of ophthalmology up in University of British Columbia.
Right.
And he's spoken out on the dangers of these vaccines for some time now. And he was on a panel with a couple other Canadian doctors recently. I'm not sure. They said it was a hearing, but I don't know who they were speaking to.
Huh. Charles Hoff is in that group.
Yes. Yep.
I noticed that. Okay. Now, if I hit play on this, will he pop up first? Do we know?
No, I think if that's the full video, go to about 23 minutes 45, uh-huh. Right in there.
All right. Fellow with a beard, right?
Yes.
All right, he comes on at about 20, it looks like. Well, let's see what we get at 21. How's that?
Okay.
All right, here we go. Chris Shaw, S-H-A-W.
For 18 months. They could have clearly done what my new chair has just done, which was invite me back to work by moving my laboratory to campus, because our provincial health officer has deemed any health facility an area where you have to be double vaccinated and boosted in order to be to work there. So my current status is that I am, as of yesterday, back at UBC, but in a different location because they couldn't have an unvaccinated person anywhere near a hospital, even though they know very clearly it has nothing to do with the vaccine status, as Charles has just shown. The second thing I talked about, and I thought it was something that needed to be addressed, and you know, Charles has just mentioned that a number of the people he saw had neurological consequences, and Charles, do jump in if you want to add to what the neurological consequences are. But as some of the audience may know, I am primarily a person in my research who studies Lou Gehrig's disease and other neurodegenerative diseases. And we know from the work that's come out on biodistribution that the spike protein and probably the mRNA goes pretty much everywhere in the body. And the consequence of that, if you get it into the brain, is you're going to have cells in the brain die.
Please don't ever forget that. We've pounded this over and over. Wherever the blood flows, mRNA and certainly spike are likely to be present. In differing concentrations, maybe, doesn't matter. And that means the brain, that means everywhere you have living tissue, you'll have spike protein. And we know what the spike protein does, and we know now that mRNA is being pretty clearly created by your body's bacteria in the process that we've explained in the past. So new sets of instructions are constantly being made and dumped into the blood, and they're off and running looking for a cell to take over to begin to manufacture, I guess you call it a bacterial cell, manufacture mRNA. That's what it does. Your body makes its own instructions on how to convert cells to creating spike protein. Anything I messed up there?
That's what's being speculated because of these DNA bacterial plasmids that have now been found in all of the vaccines, the mRNA vaccines.
That was the big recent discovery. I call it the triad. You've got mRNA, you got spike, and now you've got the plasmids. And they go looking for E. coli. They like a specific strain of E. coli more than the others, but they can infest any bacteria in the body. And they go into that bacteria, and that bacteria is then ordered to begin to produce, we think, mRNA.
mRNA or spike.
Both.
And the worrisome thing as well is that they've been endowed with these bacterial resistant genes, because that's part of the process of how they separated out from the original culture that they're obviously not purifying. And so if you try to kill them with these particular classes of antibiotics that they are endowed with resistance to, it's not going to work. And they can confer that resistance gene to other bacteria that may be inhabiting your microbiome. And what we know for sure is people who get injected with this stuff lose pretty much all of their butyrate-producing bacteria, their bifidobacteria, in the weeks to months after the injections.
Think about what Erica just said. These plasmids, one of the first things they do when they invade an E. coli bacteria is confer resistance to antibiotics. They literally make them superbugs, if you want to go that direction.
Yeah.
And make them resistant, like MRSA, right? Like, anyhow, it's bad. And let's go back to Dr. Chris Shaw.
Unlike muscle cells, unlike cells in other parts of the body that may regenerate, regions that may regenerate, the brain doesn't do that very often. So when you infect a neural cell in the brain, that is a neuron, you're killing it. And if that happens enough, you're going to have a lot of people that are damaged. And that's my concern. And we don't see this right away. We don't usually see neurological diseases until later decades of life. So my concern is that we've set up a lot of people to be neurally damaged, and the consequences of that are going to be forthcoming in the next few years. And when people have neurological diseases, whether they be Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, a whole range of others, or ALS, the disease I study, you're basically taking that person out of the economic life of the country. As a rule, unless people are extremely rich or have a really great health care program that provides full-time care, someone in the family comes out of the workforce also to care for that neurologically injured person. And my concern, and again, I don't want this to be true, but my concern is that we're going to have a wave of neurologically damaged people. And the consequences for society, I fear, are going to be fairly dramatic.
We're already seeing it, and just for fun, vaccidents are one example of neurological damage drivers at work. Now, there are many instances. People's personalities change. That's brain damage in most cases. Think about it.
So that's pretty much what I told the NCI, and it was, I think, something they needed to hear. Whether I'm right or wrong, I think that's something that we do need to be prepared for and to give some thought to how we're going to deal with it. And with that,
hey Chris, yeah. before you invite Dr. Pelican, can you make a comment on the what we're seeing now with regard to brain diseases after the shot? Particularly, there was sort of a flurry of a spongiform encephalopathy, which is like mad cow disease.
Like mad cow, yeah. There have been some of those cases for sure. During the clinical trials, there were cases of Bell's palsy, which is kind of a facial droop, which is neurological. I've heard reports of a rejection of corneal transplants. Mm-hmm. I've heard rejections of, in other neurological things, there's some speculation that you are creating spike protein kind of plaques that, these bundles of fibers that are characteristic of various neurological diseases, because you're spinning out trillions of spike proteins every time you give an injection. And we know they go all over the body. They don't stay in your muscle where you're injected. They just go everywhere. So that's a concern, again, when you're dealing with neural systems. So I think we're just seeing the leading edge of the neurological reports that are going to be coming in. But as Charles mentioned, we have a lot of his patients who are neurologically damaged. And so I think that's going to be kind of the most prominent feature of the disease going forward. Plus, what we've talked about, the turbo cancers and, of course, myocarditis. So I think that'll be the different rails that the outcomes are going to run on.
So turbo cancers, myocardial issues, brain damage, neurological damage. The future does not look bright for many, most, or perhaps all of the injected. We just don't know at this point. We do suspect, and we've said this, this is not a new iteration. We have suggested that many of the people who have been injected, who are still ambulatory and functional, are building multiple potentially fatal issues within their physiology right now, and they don't know it. Look at the picture on the homepage. The guy's got clots all over his legs. They used some kind of thermography or something to show them, and he says he has no symptoms. He's fine. I feel great. And yet there are clots, spike protein-induced clots, microclots, which turn into bigger clots, all over his legs. So these things are going on all the time. Imagine what's going on in the brain with misfolded proteins, amyloid plaques, prions at work. This shot, as Dr. Chetty said, is the most insanely deadly thing that humankind has ever created. So these people going through each day as if things are normal are, in all likelihood, not that I want this, we don't want this, going to wake up one day with a strange symptom, and they'll be off on the testing merry-go-round of the AMA. And they'll go through test after test, only to find out that they've got some catastrophic issue. That's probably what's going to happen. The death certificate will ascribe it not to spike protein or mRNA infestation or plasmid, but some other cause. They've got hundreds of things they could put down. So this will be covered up.
People forget that very serious degenerative diseases can be years in the making.
Years.
Somebody walking around with unchecked diabetes, you wouldn't know by looking at them, and yet they can have diabetes, uncontrolled blood sugar levels that it's doing horrendous damage to their cardiovascular system. To their capillaries, that can go on for years, and they look fine on the outside. Same with any sort of neurodegenerative disease. You don't actually get symptoms until a fair amount of damage has occurred in some of these cases. I have an acquaintance now that we mentioned her a month or two ago. On the exterior, she looks fine. She's young. She's probably 40-ish. I don't know, maybe 45. But she was having some gastrointestinal issues and found out that she likely has pancreatic cancer. And yet to look at her, you there's no indication she's gravely ill.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you ask her, and again, people are not going to go around mentioning these types of things. First of all, you don't want it to be true, so you try to ignore it as long as you can.
Denial. Ignoring it and denying, sure.
And then, the stigma that's attached to not being able to withstand these injections.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Let's go visit with Dr. Charles Hoff now. And again, we're... I think he's queued up on this video.
Yeah, he is. Yes, he is. He is.
All right, very good. All right, this is relatively short. This is the very brave, very well-spoken Canadian doctor who was penalized severely for trying to bring the truth forward about these shots and what they were doing to people. And glad to see him still at it. Dr. Charles Hoff, H-O-F-F-E.
This new type of vaccine turned out to be a complete failure. In fact, what they had created was not a vaccine, but an anti-vaccine. Do you remember that we were told that the way out of this pandemic was to get everyone vaccinated? That was what was going to keep us safe. But what I want to show you next was that literally what has happened to Canada is exactly what happened to those laboratory animals that were tested with the vaccine against the very first SARS virus. That so-called vaccine ended up working as an anti-vaccine and made them more vulnerable to the disease than if they had not been vaccinated. So what we now have is a pandemic of the vaccinated. I'm going to show you the evidence that this so-called vaccine is actually an anti-vaccine and that it has increased people's risk.
We would like to humbly interject here that it is a known military weapon. It's not an anti-vaccine. It is a biological weapon of death. It was designed somehow through the auspices of the Pentagram and the Department of Defense and then constructed in two different formats, Moderna and Pfizer, most prominently. In the UK, we had AstraZeneca. Then we had Johnson & Johnson, which has pretty well removed itself now. AZ, I don't know if that's still being used. All right. So, Charles, I wish people would just start telling it straight. It's a goddamn bioweapon, and they're killing people with it. It's not an anti-vaccine. It's not a vaccine. It's a biological weapon of death, an engine of destruction and horror. And I'm not exaggerating. am I?
No, no, you're not. It's exactly what it is.
It increases your chance of getting COVID, it increases your chance of spreading COVID, and it damages your immune system to such a degree that you have a higher risk of hospitalization and death. And of course, that's what the narrative that the public health keep telling us, that even though they now admit it doesn't stop you getting COVID, it doesn't stop you spreading COVID, they say it'll keep you out of hospital, at least you won't die. And I'm going to show you the evidence for why that is absolutely false. This is a very important study that came out a few months ago from Cleveland, Ohio. This was a study done on healthcare workers, 51,000 healthcare workers that had had various numbers of COVID injections. The bottom of the graph is the passage of time, and they followed these people for 3 months to see who was getting COVID. And of course, the people that are getting COVID are the people who are spreading COVID. So there are five lines there. The black line at the bottom is the people that were unvaccinated, zero doses of this vaccine. They were getting less COVID than anyone else. The next line up, the red line, is those that had had one dose of the vaccine. The green line, two doses. The blue line, three doses. And the top line, the brown one, were the people that had had the bivalent booster, the one that's supposed to keep you the safest. They were getting COVID more than anyone else. There was an absolute direct linear correlation that the more shots you got, the more likely you would get COVID and the more likely you would spread COVID. So what about severe injury and death? This is from New South Wales, Australia. This is two bar graphs. The one on the left is a bar graph with four bars showing, again, the number of vaccine doses. The graph on the left, those columns are people in hospital. The graph on the right is people in ICU. Just for the sake of time and simplicity, let's look at the one of ICU, the graph on the right. You can see the people that had zero doses, in other words, the unvaccinated, there were absolutely none of them in ICU, zero. Of the people that had one shot, very few in ICU. And literally, the more shots they had, the more likely they would end up in ICU. It was an exact linear relationship. The more accumulated damage to your immune system from these boosters, the more harm that you would have from this disease.
Okay, there you go. It's summed right up again. That's Dr. Charles Hoff. And the facts, the figures don't lie. But liars figure. So keep that in mind, too. I'm just glad to see these in a format. I'll put all these up later in the archive section of our coverage on this whole nightmare, so you can refer to these and send them around. So, very good.
Yeah, that leads, okay. We've got that one, that last one with David Martin. Now, I think he was speaking, there was some sort of international COVID summit in Brussels back at the beginning of this month, and I think he was speaking there. But on the topic of, this fraudulent vaccine.
Yeah, it's not, yeah, God.
I mean, everything about it was fraudulent.
Weapon. It's just like, it's like a piece of artillery. It's not a health food. It's a weapon. All right, we've got Ryan Cole and David Martin here. So we'll pull up David now, see what he has to say. All right. Boy, Children's Health Defense, that's RFK Jr.'s organization, is really stepping out with a lot of material now. Watch RFK. I at this point, I feel confident in saying he will be the appointed nominee of the Democrat Communist Party, and he probably will be installed in the White House. That would be my guess. We'll see. Here we go, I think.
Pfizer, 1990, the very first spike protein vaccine for coronavirus. And in 1990, they found out that there was a problem with vaccines. They didn't work. You know why they didn't work? It turns out that coronavirus is a very malleable model. It transforms and it changes and it mutates over time. As a matter of fact, every publication on vaccines for coronavirus from 1990 until 2018, every single publication concluded that coronavirus escapes the vaccine impulse. because it modifies and mutates too quickly for vaccines to be effective. And since 1990 to 2018, that is the published science, ladies and gentlemen. That's following the science. Following the science is their own indictment of their own programs that said it doesn't work. And there are thousands of publications to that effect, not a few hundred, and not paid for by pharmaceutical companies. These are publications that are independent scientific research that shows unequivocally, including efforts of the chimera modifications made by Ralph Baric and the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. All of them show vaccines do not work on coronavirus. That's the science.
There you go. Once again, Dr. David Martin. We played another clip of his, what, 4 weeks ago? I don't remember now. And it was very powerful. Very powerful statement.
Oh, he knows his stuff.
Yeah. He really does. Ralph Baric. I wonder if Ralph Baric is pushing up daisies somewhere.
I know. Where is he?
He's just gone. He's such a jovial-looking guy. Ralph Baric. Looks like he could dress up as Santa Claus and sit in a shopping mall some Christmas time.
Well, he did give a presentation to a filled auditorium, back in 2018, 2017?
Something like that.
On how to profit from a pandemic.
How to... That's funny. Well, it is funny. I guess laughter is really inappropriate because this is so damned morbid and dreadful. But you got to laugh a little bit at it. The irony of it, the horror of it, is so inarguable that it's... And yet the people, the masses of people who look at that television in their home, and whether they wanted to or not, that television is presenting their form of reality to them. It is creating their reality. It is a lie. It's not reality. It's programming, mind programming. That's what they're getting every time they watch it. Oh, I watch CNBC and just to get a different view. You're watching all of those commercial outlets and you are being programmed. Sorry, you're not hearing anything like we present on this program, are you? No. When's the last time your local network affiliate television station bringing you the news actually talked about shedding? Have they ever? Probably not. It's all lies. It's all lies. All right, here's Dr. Ryan Cole on turbo cancer.
New kind of slang term that people are using around the world. A colleague of mine in Sweden coined the term in one of her papers. And what she was seeing as a breast pathologist that sees a lot of breast cancer over her many years of practice, she noticed young women developing cancer after the rollout of the injections, and she noticed that these cancers were more aggressive and spreading more quickly. So the turbo cancer just means a cancer that's behaving in a more aggressive manner than in science. We know how most cancers behave over a period of time. And these cancers, because of the dysregulation of the immune responses and the suppression of the immune system by these genetic-based injections and so many other mechanisms, these cancers that normally would be kept in check by the body are unexpectedly growing very quickly.
Growing very quickly, out of control, people dying before the oncology machine can even issue a protocol for them to follow. You got to get your radiation, get your chemo. Yeah, we'll help you.
Oh, now it's they're starting to report these turbo cancers in children. I just saw.
God.
I'm thinking it was Daily Clout that might have run a story on leukemias in these children that have been vaxxed. And even faster, it seems, in some cases than the adults. I mean, just, you know, diagnosis to death with, you know, they're dead within a week. See if I can find that. But, yeah, it's grim. It's very, very grim.
And again, you are not going to see this on the nightly news. They're not going to tell you any of this. They won't do it. They're not allowed. I'm not sure they even want to. But they are all owned by the same people. All these stations. You've seen the videos, how they repeat the same scripts, whether they're in Miami Beach or Seattle, Washington. Doesn't matter. Same scripts, verbatim. So it's a mass mind control program. That's what commercial television is. And look what the so-called entertainment texture is for people now. Horrors. Wait till you start seeing storylines about pedophilia and pedophiles just simply being misunderstood adults who just want to do something that they feel is right, and they're victims, and you're going to see it. You're going to see all of it. That's how they convince people. They change the reality that most Americans derive from staring at the screen. That is their reality.
Okay, I just found the, it was Dr. Paul Alexander that put it out on his Substack May 4th. Title is Turbo Cancer Leukemia. Children ages 11 to 21 are dying within hours or days of cancer diagnosis.
Wow. Hours. Wow. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Not good.
No. All right, let's go take a look at our little human COVID Chronicles file and see what we can pull out and share with you for the remaining minutes we have. These hours go by so quickly. And just for the record, you are all very much appreciated. You know that we know you come in here with an open mind, make your own decisions. We're not here to tell anyone how to think or what to think. We're just presenting our views and supporting it with as good of an information database as we can come up with. All right. May 10th.
Okay.
Third hand shedding. That's a real concern.
Okay.
Third hand. Shedding sickness from sex. Let's do that one first. That's down near the bottom. Six up.
Okay.
Because a lot of people are still having sex, like things are normal. Good luck. Sex is ultimately, you know, and I'm no prude, not supposed to be a recreational device. It's a procreational device, but it has become a sport. And let's see what happens to mixed, vaxxed people. Okay, go ahead.
Thank you for sharing this information. I got COVID the first time from being near two of my family members who were vaxxed. I also had fibroid tumor in my uterus, which I managed for years, and after being intimate with my, at the time, partner, the tumor just ballooned in size, and I ended up having a hysterectomy recently with pathology tests showing precancerous cells, which is usually very rare in fibroids. Luckily, he had only one shot, and I managed to persuade him not to have another one, and I have strengthened myself with good diet, cold water swimming, but definitely can say that my uterine fibroids went out of control after me being exposed to my vaxxed partner. Well, it's very clear there's some kind of very potent endocrine disruptors in whatever's in these shots, whether right. It's the spike itself or there's something else, it's doing a number on women's hormones, both right. Progesterone and estrogen.
Right. This is, very importantly, a sterilizing program. They're
yes.
staying and neutering human beings, okay? They're taking them out of the reproduction business. Here's another note. From one of the social media boards, I hope this email finds you well. I recently came across an alarming article by Dr. Joseph Mercola about pork production practices that I wanted to share with you. Before I delve into the details, I want to note that I am Jewish and do not consume pork due to religious beliefs outlined in the Torah. However, I believe this information is crucial for everyone, regardless of their dietary preferences or religious background. The article reveals that pork producers in the United States and Canada have been using customizable, it's a very alarming word, customizable mRNA-based vaccines on their pig herds since 2018. The mRNA platform called Sequivity, Sequivity, has been approved. But here's the catch. All customized mRNA injections created using this platform are untested. Untested. The initial safety testing, which is the basis for assuming the safety of these jabs, was grossly inadequate. Hell, it was grossly non-existent. According to the U.S. Department of Agriculture, the safety of Sequivity is based on a single study involving 748 piglets. Shockingly, I'm going to round this off, 30% of these piglets experienced serious adverse events, including 24 dead. When considering the combined impact of death, anorexia, wasting, and failure to thrive, a staggering 11.5% of the animals were lost. They died due to vaccine-related injuries. What's even more concerning about this whole mess is the weak license approval from the USDA, which only includes data for influenza, despite Merck advertising vaccines for four other pathogens under this Sequivity line. Additionally, Canada's environmental assessment highlights that safety claims for these mRNA-based vaccines are purely theoretical. The information raises important questions about the safety of consuming pork from animals that have been injected with these untested mRNA vaccines, in quotes. Unfortunately, there are no safety studies related to human consumption of Sequivity-treated animals. We don't know who's eating it, how many have eaten it. We don't know anything about it. Untested? Well, I forgot. They don't need to test anything anymore. That's right. In light of these findings, I strongly urge you to reconsider your consumption of pork, even if you're not bound by religious restrictions. It is essential to prioritize our health and make informed choices about the food we eat. Well, yes. So since the last, 5 years? They've been using mRNA vaccines on pigs. On all pigs? Don't know. Apparently the brand name is called Sequivity line of products. So I'm going to read this one little part again. What's even more concerning is the weak license approval from the USDA, which only includes data for influenza, despite Merck advertising vaccines for four other pathogens, under the Sequivity line, Sequivity label. All right, anyway, they're rolling these things out fast and using them in a completely untested, grossly inadequate procedures are being followed here. They're just making this crap up and injecting it into pigs. So they've got
well,
at least
and this was before
five vaccines.
They Go ahead. Changed the definition of a vaccine. This was 2018. So they're giving these animals. I guess it's a gene transfection to cause them to produce a viral protein.
We don't know for sure.
As we've seen in humans, though, it doesn't protect against the disease. It actually causes the disease. So now whatever that protein is that they've been transfected to produce is permeated throughout their tissues. People are eating it if they eat pigs. A third of the animals are sick, died?
Right.
How's that good for business?
Well, they're going to keep this as quiet as they possibly can, obviously. Well,
and I would just be, I think we'd be naive to think that this is not also happening in other sectors.
It would be naive to think that. Yes.
Extremely.
They're having a field day out there. There's no testing required.
Well, look what they do with the chicken feed.
I know.
You know, they alter the chicken feed so that the hens can't lay eggs. What else are they doing to it?
Organic eggs only. That's your best bet. And try to buy local. Better than that, if you've got the space, get your own layers, your own chickens.
Yeah, just make sure you know where their food is coming from, because, you know, that's... Yeah.
Well, I learned an awful lot when I used to be in, I had pet stores, and I learned about what they put in dog and cat food.
Mm.
And I am, without any question, now fully aware of why dogs and cats get sick and die so early. They're being killed with this food.
Yeah.
It's just horrific. All right. That's it. And now from the better-looking member of this team, say goodnight, Erica.
Okay. Good night, Jeff. Have a good weekend, everyone.
All right. And we will be right back in just a few minutes. Hang on.